A couple of things, and while fresh on my mind. First of all, I'd like to just thank the praise team. How you can tell they're spending time in praise music, and y'all were just off the chain. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to thank my brother and his wife, Jock and Debbie, for being here. You know, it's just something when, I guess, this relationship that we have as family. When he came to, I wasn't expecting him today. He was off, what, 5 Sundays? He only missed one. And I wasn't expecting him to come today. But when he came to that day, I almost lost it. Man, I just appreciate you. While y'all are looking finding it through your Bibles, looking for it, turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and I will get to it eventually. But I was just thinking about some things that was crossing my mind, and one of the things that crossed my mind today was, I don't know, well, I know y'all are not old enough to remember, but there's a few members in here that should remember. I'm looking at you. And that is, yeah, there was this program used to come on, and it was they called it Superman. They said, up in the sky, look, it's a bird, and somebody pointing up in the sky, they were looking up, the birds are playing as Superman. And they said, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. And as a child, that had an effect on me. And Jock, he probably remember, so much so we tied a towel around our neck so we can have the little cape, you know. And we wanted that power. That was power, man. We wanted that power. And when you're a child coming up there, that really had an influence on us. So we climbed on top of the little house, that little two shed that was attached to the house at the time. We jump off. And nobody got hurt. I think Randall broke his collarbone. But it's just from children, we have the idea we want power. And today the message is experiencing spiritual power. You know, knowing God and really experiencing God are two different things. There was this lady who lived in the boondocks. I mean, she lived far, far off the beaten path. And the power company had to figure out a way to get electrical power to her house. So they had to pull up poles and did what they had to do to get finally able to generate enough electricity for this lady's house so she can have electricity where she lived. And she hadn't had electricity before. And now she was able to get power. When they ran the cable and turned on the lights and you know, on her power, they noticed something. You know, they checked the meter every so often. But they noticed but very little of the power that they had sent through her house was reaching her, at least that's by all indication by the meter reading. So they got a little concerned and said, well, maybe something has happened. Maybe there's a break in the cable or something. So what they did, they went and knocked on the lady's door and says, lady, maybe ask you a question. He said, are you using the power that we sent to your house? And she said, yes, I certainly am. I'm using it. He said, well, something is wrong because our indication of you're not using it at all. She said, I'm sure I'm using it. Well, he said, well, how are you using it? She said, well, when it get dark, I turn on the lights long enough to light my oil lights. And once I light my oil lights, I turn the lights back off. So that's one way of not utilizing everything that's available to us. And she said, I absolutely was using it, but evidently not like they thought once she should be using it. I'm sure you would agree with me that this lady didn't understand the use of power. She had it, but she wasn't maximizing it. She wasn't using all of the power that was made available to her. And you know, even at that, we sing songs like there is power, one, we call it wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. But we still, on many of us, seem so powerless. So when we talk about knowing God, and we'll not ask you how many verses do you memorize, how well can you quote scripture? That's good, but you know, that has its place. But when we talk about knowing God, we are asking you, how intimate have you and God become? How close are you and God? When was the last time you had an experience with him? Or better still, when was the last time he hasn't experienced you? When we become intimate with God, when God is known as he wants to be known, where he is experienced and as he wants to be experienced, the result is power that you never had experienced before now and that you're now experiencing. You know, Paul talks a lot about that. And what I tell y'all, Ephesians chapter 3, okay, starting at verse 13. I'm reading from the New American Standard. And he says, therefore, I ask you not to lose heart. Now, to lose heart, what does that mean? That means become discouraged, despondent. When you lose heart, you want to quit, give up, throw in the towel. In other words, you're saying, I just can't take this anymore. That is to lose heart. And I'm quite sure that you will agree with me that there are a lot of things that's going on today that will cause you to lose heart. It could be any situation that you might find yourself in. It could be family, financial, a health concern, a career, job loss. It could be any number of things. Emotional distress. But you'll get up and go has just gotten up and went. And you have lost of heart. You are tired. You become weary and well-doing. Paul is writing to Christians at Ephesus. These are saved people because he called them saints. But he is concerned because they are losing heart. You know, it's something when you have, that's why it's so important to be in a church family and get along, loving one another, praying for one another, because sometimes we get so low, we need somebody else to pray for us. And that's what Paul was doing, because even Christians lose heart. Even though we have become professionals at looking the part, the reality is if they're exposed to our soul, if them I would just shine a light on our soul, could see, it could be seen, it would be clear that losing heart had become the order of the day. This concerned Paul because he became one of the great prayers in the New Testament. In verse 14 he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. You know, because I know that you're getting really, really quite serious now. Because when you bow your knees before the Father, you know, when you bow your knees, even though you think when you're up praying there's something serious going on, and you bow your knees, this is some serious stuff going on. Because normally we walk around, yes, Lord, I'm just going on and that going on. But when something hits you that's really serious, you go down on your knees. In verse 15 it says, from whom every family in heaven and earth and on earth derives its name. He is saying, because of this thing of losing heart, I fall down on my knees. In the Bible, when someone drops down to their knees, that meant that it was a serious prayer. Paul was really serious about this prayer, praying for the church at Ephesus. And I bow my knees to the Father, and whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name. The good news is there is only one Father, but he has many families. He says every family. He is referring to the Christians talking to the church at Ephesus. And he says that many families that he has, he says that people who need to be strengthened because of what they are going through. There are always people need to be strengthened. In other words, that's where we derive our name from. One Father. He is our Father, our Heavenly Father. So there is one thing I want you to understand, and that is that you bear your Father's name. You are losing heart. It is the same daddy, and he loves all of his little children because you bear the family name. You know, just like I saw my brother come in and this morning and his wife Debbie, and there's something about that name and brother and having that love and affection from one another. So that's why this time when he came in, man, I almost lost it. Don't let that go to your head now. It is our Father who art in heaven, and you bear his name. Therefore, he is concerned and conscious of the fact that you are struggling with discouragement, with a defeat, a defeat that's owning you, that's taking over you. But he says in verse 16, I pray that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man. He says, I'm praying that God gives you some power. And he is referring to the power to no longer allow your circumstances to own you. He is talking to those people who are dealing with a losing heart situation. He is talking to that about that kind of power for weak people who need to be strengthened because of what they are going through. I don't know if anyone here is going through anything this morning, but he is just a funny feeling about this. Somebody need to hear this. But the problem is that they don't have the power to make the trip. They don't have the power to get up out of their situation. They don't have the power to be overcomers, to deal with the pain right now. They are powerless without the power to make a change, and they are losing heart. He is saying, my prayer is for the struggling among us, that God will strengthen you with power. But I want the location of the strengthening to be by his Spirit in the inner man. In other words, the answer to the thing that is causing you to lose heart is not outside of you. It's not changing. That thing is on the outside, and we try so much to get outside situations to change what's going on the inside. But don't get me wrong. Everyone wants things to get better. There is nothing wrong with that. But what he is saying is the power to change something as far as you losing your heart is based on a Spirit's work in the inside of you. When you are losing heart about any situation, any circumstance, anything that you're going through, when you're losing heart, we want to come out that situation. I don't care how bad it is. The first thing we do, we want to come out of it. We want to escape whatever is causing the pain. That is natural. Nothing is wrong with that. We don't like pain. We all want pain to be taken away from us. The problem is we don't know when that's possible. We don't know when that is going to be happening. But we still have to live. We still have to function. We still have to go to work, raise our family. We still have to do and be what we're supposed to do and be. But how can we be what you are supposed to be when you have no strength to be it? You need power. Have any of you ever forgot to plug in your cell phones at night? Your phone had run down and you forgot to plug it in, and you woke up the next morning and first thing, because landlines are becoming obsolete. Everybody has their cell phone now. And you wake up the next morning and you pick up your phone and make a call, and you can't call nobody. Nobody can call you, and you begin to get a little, because your battery had run down, and you become, and your phone is dead, and you have no power. Now you can scream at it. You can yell at it. It's not going to do any good. Say, somebody, please talk to me. It's not going to happen. But that wouldn't you can push the buttons real hard and try to make something happen, but it's not going to do it. And I know that's the case because I've seen some of your phones. Cracks all in them, ends broken off. You push the buttons harder, the cell phone doesn't work. I don't care how hard you try, it's not going to charge anything because your problem was on the inside. You had an uncharged battery. So it wouldn't matter what your external methods were. I don't care what we did outside of that phone, your problem was internal. And it's doomed to fail. And you were doomed to frustration. That is why so many of your cell phones are broken. Unless something got charged in the inner casing, the absence of the inner charge meant more external frustration. But when you put the charge on the inner casing, that invisible power, electric current, passes through the cord into the battery, and my external capacity adjusted to my inner reality. Now you have a charge internal, so now you can talk external. Everything that we do that comes out, if the inside is not right, it's not going to work. I don't care what we do externally. I know one time had money for something. And rather than go to God and pray, he says, Lord, you know my situation. You know, you pay your tithes, you do what you need to do. But I tried I went everywhere. Tried to borrow from this company, credit wasn't good enough. Tried to borrow from that company, credit was, nothing would work until God got straight in here. And then he miraculously made everything all right. A lot of us are losing heart, are making ourselves more frustrated by trying to change the external when there has been no adjustment on the internal. And we wonder why there is no power. He says, my prayer for you, those of you who are losing heart and while you are running around frantically, is that you will get power and you will need power on the inner man. He says in verse 17, he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Now, that word dwell means to make yourself at home. Most people, and you all know this, we had one, most people have this little mat on their front door that says welcome. And people who come to visit you, they see that and, you know, they take for granted they're welcome. And the first thing, you know, and when we do that, the first thing we do, we tell a lie when we open the door. We say, you're welcome. We open the door and say, hey, how you doing? Come and make yourself at home. That's a lie. You just told a lie just that quick. Because we barely ever meant that. We don't mean that. It would be more correct to say, make yourself at room. Because we said, come on in. We said, carry them to the room that they're led to come in. Because we knew they were coming. We cleaned that room up, and we cleaned the bathroom up. You know, those two rooms are clean. Because all the other stuff that we chose to clean this room, we just threw it in the other room. So we said, make yourself at home. And they're going all in your bedroom looking at all that junk. And in your closet, we don't know. We said make yourself at room. We're not make yourself at home, because when you make yourself at home, you have right to the house. You can go anywhere you want to go. That is the furthest thing from my mind. We're just being polite. Not honest, but polite. Because we don't want them to go all through our house, all through our personal things. The junk that we clean your room, we want you to set there. That's like we have visitors Monday. All the junk, we made them go down and set in the downstairs. Because the rest of the house was tore up. So we had them to make room. See, you're sitting there, they thought the whole house was clean. But we don't want to prove it and say, make yourself at home. You make yourself at room. He says, I want you to be strengthened with power. And that happens when Jesus Christ can make himself at home and not make himself at room in your life. Some people, and we used to put it another way, but some people have in their lives Jesus rooms. That is, we don't want him to go to every part of our heart to find out all the things that we are doing that's not right. So we have Jesus rooms. We don't tell Jesus, come make yourself at home. It's not, we can't do that because he has freedom to go and roam anywhere he wants to. We said we have Jesus rooms. And because, you know, this room is clean. We made sure that when Jesus comes, this place, Jesus, I want you here. Now, and if you have to use the bathroom, that's clean. But the other part of my heart, in my inner man, no, I don't, you can't go there because I got to work on that. And you can go here, but you can go there too because I cleaned that up earlier. And then we tell Jesus he is welcome. But he's not. But if you want power, Jesus must be free to visit every room in your house. He must be free to make himself at home, not at room. He will only address what he has access to. I mean, how can he bless me over, and that's what's going on over here, when he don't know, he haven't been there. He don't have access to it, so he's not going to bless it. He must be free to make himself at home, not at room. He will only address what he has access to. We call that the Lordship of Jesus Christ, which is giving Christ access to every place, every room in the house. He says, I want Christ to dwell in your hearts. Be free to roam so you can have more power. In other words, limited access from Christ means limited power from Christ. Limited power from Christ means more losing heart, more discouragement, because he is not free to roam where he need to roam. He must be free to enter in the inner man to dwell there, to make himself at home there. Well, you say, why? So that you can comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth. In verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. I want you to know that love, the love of Christ, and I want you to know the breadth, the length, and height, and depth. Now, I'm getting ready to read a scripture that we all people, all y'all Christians know about, and y'all love this scripture. And this verse is verse 20. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. We love that. Because when we quote that, sometimes we say he is able. He is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. And our feet start patting because we know God is getting ready to do it. Yes, he is. Yeah. Feet start moving. Listen to what he is really saying. He is talking to people with losing hearts. That verse has to do with anyone that is discouraged here today. That verse is for anyone who is defeated here today. It is for anyone who is tired and weary, that see no hope in their future. They'll see no hope in their circumstances. He is talking about heart of losing hearts of people, about hearts that are losing hearts. The good news I can give you today is, if you don't need it today, you may need it tomorrow. What I can tell you today, based on the scriptures, God is able. God is able to do to take care of any circumstance you may find yourself in. He's able to do abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Finances, you having trouble? You're doing everything you do based on the word. God is able to bring you out. You got sickness, you got healings, you need whatever you need, God is able. God is able to take care of that family member that has sort of going out of his mind. God is able. God is able to bring back your elders that had dementia. And I'm telling you, don't give up on them, because God is able. God is able. Cancer is nothing, because God is able. I'm telling you today, I don't care what's happening in your life, what you're experiencing in your life. You can't experience nothing so downright dirty that God is not able to change that situation or turn it around for your good. God is able. He only asks just one thing. Just to open up our hearts and just say, Lord, you're welcome. You have free reign over every room in my heart. You're welcome to roam wherever. You get into one that just doesn't look right, you're free because you're able to straighten it out. You have a room that's causing problems because of somebody else, you know, you're able to get it straight, Lord. You have already, through the testimonies that I've heard this morning, you already know God is able. But I just don't want you to give up. I don't care how bad it looks. Sometimes situations will get worse before they get better. But we don't know what God is doing, because the only thing we know is God is able. He is able to do abundantly, but all we can ask or think. He is God. He is our Father. We are his children. We bear his name. You know, any good father, loving father like he is, takes care of his children. But our children have to be obedient and allow him the opportunity. He's not going to force anything on you. He's not going to do anything to make you seem unseemly. But he said, look, just love me with all your heart. Just worship and praise me. Don't go following after these other gods. You love me. I'm a jealous God. And don't bring nothing mess in here. And if you have that mess in you, he is able to move it too. Amen. Heavenly Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, once again, we just come giving your name glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, that your word